Good morning. Good morning. There we are. It is indeed a good morning because we are gathered together and God is present in this place. I'd like to draw your attention to a few things. Our habitat build, now is the time to sign up for our habitat build. So if you are willing to help participate with that build in any way, you don't have to have any prior building experience. There is a sign up in Reed Hall. Please visit the table in Reed Hall following the service. Now is also the time to sign up for our trunk or treat, which will happen toward the end of October, and you can also sign up for that in Reed Hall. Next Sunday, our West End 101 class will begin at 9:45 in the Quarter Hall. The class will run for 4 weeks, and it's a wonderful class if you're new to West End or you've been here a while but are interested in getting more involved and finding out more about our congregation. We invite you to come to that class. It's very drop-in friendly, so if you can't attend for all 4 weeks, please feel free to come for however many you're able to, but we would love to have you. 9:45 in McWhorter Hall, which is just below the sanctuary here, next Sunday. Next, I'd like to introduce our new interns. This congregation has a long history of having interns from various places, and our two interns I'm going to introduce to you are from Vanderbilt Divinity School. First, I'll introduce Anita. Anita Peebles is a third-year MDiv student, Master of Divinity student at Vanderbilt Divinity School. She's originally from Michigan, and she's pursuing ordination through Glendale Baptist Church with the Alliance of Baptists. She'll be working with me in congregational care, and we're really glad that she's here. Next is Kaylee Rhodes. Kaylee is a first-year Master of Divinity student at Vanderbilt. She's married to Hunter Rhodes, who is also a first-year MDiv student, so they're in the thick of it together. Kaylee is originally from Memphis. She'll be working with Emily Robbins in our youth ministry department this year. So I know you'll want to welcome them, but we are glad that both of you are here. Thank you. Next, I just want to mention a word about our preacher this morning. Speaking of interns, one of our former interns, Krista Blackshear, is here this morning to be our preacher. She is also a member of our church. She graduated from Vanderbilt Divinity School this summer and is currently doing her clinical pastoral education year with Alive Hospice, serving as a chaplain there. So we are glad to have her this morning as our preacher. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds to worship God.
Be known to us in breaking bread, but do not then depart. Savior, abide with us and spread thy table in our hearts.
We come like Abraham, Sarah, and John the Baptist, people with vision. We come like Job, Thomas, and the Samaritan woman. We come like Moses, Jeremiah, and Mary. We come like Joshua, Deborah, and Stephen. We come like David, Mary Magdalene, and Paul. We come like Hagar, Uriah, and the Syrophoenician woman. We come like Rebecca and Samuel, like Hosea and Esther, like Nathaniel and Martha, like John, Mark, and Priscilla. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Jesus, who sat at the table with outcasts and sinners, we confess that too often our words and actions are not consistent with our beliefs. Often we ignore the needy, show indifference to the lonely, and reject those who seem different from us. Forgive us, we pray. Empower us to reach out in love and acceptance. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the New Testament. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord, and they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we all will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each of us will be accountable to God. The word of God for the people of God.
Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and redeemer. Amen. Family, there's nothing like it. Recently, my mother and I took a cross-country road trip. She wanted to see Mount Rushmore. And so after traveling to Ohio to pick Mother up, we embark on our grand adventure. Excitement was in the air, and the conversations were loaded with pleasantries. And day one, I thought, okay, this is going to be great. Mom and I haven't argued one time. But I began to feel agitated, because every time Mom moved or turned a page in her book or reached for something, she made this blowing sound. Oh my God, what is that? Does Mom have emphysema? She's never mentioned it to me before. No, I thought to myself, she's not exerting any energy. She shouldn't be out of breath. Why is she blowing like a whale? The longer I drove, the more aggravated I became, until I finally shouted, "Mom, why are you blowing like that?" "I'm not," she said, as she rolled her eyes at me. "Yes, you are." Silence ensued. Our joy had been lost, and we'd become disconnected. She pulled out her phone, dialed up Netflix, put on her headphones, and for the next several hours, crickets. We made it to our bed and breakfast, where I was able to sneak off and get me some me time. And as I drove along the road, all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I witnessed the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen before. I'd stumbled upon the Garden of Gods. Out from the earth came these big, beautiful rocks, formations assembled in sporadic formation, piercing the sky. Oh, my! Mom wasn't there to enjoy the beauty with me. Doggone it, I said, how selfish could I have been? Families can be irritating, but when they aren't around, you miss them. Families are the only people who know how to care for you and can love you as you need to be loved. And yet they can upset you so deeply that sometimes it hurts to even be around them. Family is that organism which affirms our personhood. It affirms us and offers that nurturing when the world treats us unfairly. When the workday is difficult or school is challenging, it's comfort to know that the family is there to give you hope. When we affirm people, we demonstrate to them they matter. We affirm one another when we share life's joys and sorrows and encourage each other to be the best that we can be. In family, we guide each other like a ship's captain guiding his vessel through the stormy sea. When the ship strays from its course, and the crew becomes frightened, the captain, like family, helps to redirect the path, steering you in your right direction. When people feel wanted and valued, they go out into the world sharing that same positive outlook, imbuing that same confidence unto those around them. But sometimes as we grow and experience the world, our ideas and experiences and opinions deviate from others in the family. And this can be a bit unsettling. I'm reminded of a time in divinity school where several of my classmates voiced their concern about returning home for the holidays. They knew when they gathered with their families there was potential for conflict. Perhaps their opinions no longer matched that of their families. And as a result of differing opinions, feelings could get hurt, sides could be taken, and loyalty to the family would be lost. There was a chance they'd no longer feel comfortable returning home to that unit which loved them into being. Many of my classmates understood the significance of being in family and brainstormed about how they could address the family without losing that loving connection. We role-played and came up with strategies to redirect conversations, and some of them even chose not to go back home. But they all still loved and cherished their family, despite differing ideologies. I've heard families compared to branches on a tree. They grow in different directions, yet their roots remain as one. We here are related, and in relationship with each other. As some of us have left our families of origin because of a job or college, we've encountered others who've perhaps been taught different from us. They may embrace different values than us and resolve issues or manage stress differently than we do. Or maybe they value traditions that we don't find to be important. And because of those differences, we make a judgment. And in that instance, we make a distinction between them and us. In the field of psychology, they use the term cognitive dissonance, or the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes about another. In making those distinctions, we almost always eliminate the possibility of ever being in relationship. It happens just that fast. A judgment is made, and a fracture occurs. Now, there are several choices that can be made in that moment. We can choose to find common ground with the other and recognize there are things we have in common, and we can move forward in being connected. We can choose to recognize the distinctions and forego an opportunity to be in relationship. Or we can choose to continue to see the others conflicting with our values and beliefs and totally dismiss their humanity. Regardless of your choice, as a member in the body of Christ, we are still connected, a family. This is what I think the Apostle Paul is talking about in the Romans 14th chapter. He is addressing his church family, those individuals who'd become followers of Jesus Christ. As the once exiled Jewish Christians returned to Rome, their habits and traditions differed from their cohorts. As a result of these differences, a disagreement between the two sects erupted. Tensions in the family rose because the two sides could not see eye to eye. One side felt the other was weak, while the other despised their counterparts for making them feel less than. Confined in their own understanding of God's new covenant, the two sects found themselves estranged from the other. Now, Paul is distraught over the bickering and name-calling, and so he intervenes and lays out the rules governing how Christ's followers were to function as a family. Paul came to understand the significance of belonging and worked to restore the divided family. Having been converted to Christianity, he knew his family could not sustain itself without a loving connection. Paul knew life without love meant isolation, loathing, and even hate. And he knew God had a bigger plan. Imagine yourself in this situation. The pain is so unbearable, so you begin to search out those things that you think can make you feel better and get rid of that pain. Your behaviors change, the joy you once experienced has vanished, and there's constant turmoil stirring inside. I've been there, and it's no fun. The hurt of remembering those things that separated you from God is like a searing burn in your gut that constantly reminds you of your shortcomings. And nothing Paul did could douse that burning pain he felt from being disconnected. He'd suffered blindness, was made to depend on others, and he'd experienced weakness. How frightening could that be for Paul? But here's the good news. God was gracious. He was gracious indeed to Paul because he restored his sight and he connected him to something bigger than he could ever have imagined. God led Paul to a fulfilling connection that redirected his path and gave him something to look forward to. Enjoined and with a renewed purpose, Paul's yearning had been satisfied by his connection with love. Feeling affirmed and renewed, Paul worked arduously to spread the good news of love. No longer blind nor feeling remorseful for his past transgressions, Paul went out into the world hoping to spread God's love. A love that said, "Don't worry, I got your back." It is because we have accepted Jesus Christ as the head of our lives we are in relationship. We are a family because we said yes to Jesus Christ. We are justified or accepted into the body of Christ. Each time we affirm our faith, we pledge to believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We pledge to trust God, to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil. That's what it means to be a Christ follower, to be the salt of the earth, something that is cherished and preserved. As members of the body of Christ, we've promised to love, live in love rather than fear, never forsaking one another nor denigrating the other. But you know, because we say yes to Jesus Christ doesn't mean we always have to agree on family matters. In fact, there are bound to be times when we disagree. But no matter what, we are connected. In such a case where disagreements occur, we need to extend grace to those others, just as Christ extended grace to us. Now, that's not an easy task, but there are things you can do to change the situation. As an example, there's a person ahead of you who's slowing traffic because they're too busy texting and driving. I found myself becoming so upset that all of a sudden these expletives start coming out of my mouth. Oh my God. I find myself trembling in those moments. But then I realized my anger really wasn't anger. It was fear for that person. So instead of shouting expletives, I've learned to pray that they make it home safely. You should try it. No judgment needed, just mercy. In verse 7 of Romans, we hear Paul explain to the family why we must behave differently. He explains, as a family, our cares and concerns shouldn't be directed upon ourselves, but on others. What I think Paul is alluding to here is this: everything we do is done in the name of love. not in relationship to ourselves, but in relation to the family of God. God has welcomed all into God's family, and we are to do the same. Just as God has loved us, we are to love and serve others. We live under the rule of love. In 1975, a vocal group called Sister Sledge sang a song composed by Bernard Edwards and Niles Rogers titled, "We Are Family." This song became the number one R&B song of the day. It was the anthem which many of us sang to remind ourselves of why we are here. The song was re-recorded in 2001 after the traumatic events of September 11, 2001. Rogers, the composer, understood the nation needed to be inspired. Sadness and despair had stolen our joy and left us feeling alone and afraid. He sensed the need to recreate a spirit of unity, cohesion, and self-worth among the people. Today, when differences of opinions have divided the family, we need to remember we live for God. God is concerned about our well-being and wants us to know we are connected to something bigger and greater than ourselves. That something is the love of Jesus Christ, which we, as members of the family, are part of. In our connectedness, we are love and encouragement for one another, and we offer assurance that in God, all things will work out for the good. Changes will come. Opinions will differ, and uncertainty will rise. But as we look up and see the beauty surrounding us, remember, God is with us. We are not alone. We live in God's world. Thanks be to God.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is through the doors to your right and to my left. Our Andrew ministers will be there to greet you and answer any questions you might have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex, which is at the rear of the sanctuary. You can look for their blue name tags. If you're a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following the late worship service. They will also gather in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. We invite you to record any prayer requests you might have, indicating whether you like them to be shared or kept confidential. You can place the card in the offering plate as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us if you've not already done so, and then pass the pad down the pew so you can see with those who you're sitting, and please greet anyone you may not know following the worship service. As we go to our time of joy's concerns, we want to keep all those who've been affected by Tropical Storm and Hurricane Harvey. If you'd like to make a contribution through West End, you can make your check payable to West End and put Harvey in the four line. You'll also find the advance number in your bulletin insert. If you'd like to do a flood bucket, you can deliver those to Calvary United Methodist Church or the conference office by Monday, September 11th. You will receive an email later this week that will give more details about flood buckets and giving. We offer prayers for the family and friends of Melissa Penry Williams, who passed away Tuesday, August 29th in Litchfield, Kentucky. Her memorial service was September 2nd at Broadway United Methodist Church in Paducah, Kentucky. We also want to offer our prayers for family and friends of Jim Hume. He passed away yesterday morning. A graveside service will be held tomorrow at 2 p.m. at Mount Olivet Cemetery. Also, today's altar flowers are given to the glory of God and to bless the memory of Mr. and Mrs. Matthew Hughes Dobson III and Mr. and Mrs. Harry Wortham Smith and Matthew Hughes Dobson IV by their family. We have received gifts too numerous to count. Now let us have a chance to give in thanks and joy.
be with you.
Also.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. You may be seated. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Holy Spirit, on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, broken and given in love for us. This is the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation poured out that we might know the forgiveness of our sins. In our Methodist tradition, this is an open table. It is hosted by Christ. So it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done or haven't done, who you love, or whether or not you have been baptized, you are welcome to partake in this holy meal. Please note that there are instructions for communion printed in your bulletin insert. Those in the choir will be served first, and then folks in the balcony will come forward, as well as those in the transepts, followed by those in the nave. As you come forward to the communion rail, please hold out your hands open to receive communion and stay as long as you wish afterward in prayer. If you would like to receive the elements in your pew, please let one of the ushers know by raising your hand when the choir comes forward. A gluten and dairy-free option is available in the west transept side. Please go to that side and indicate to your server that you need that option, and Kaylee will be happy to serve you. This month's communion offering will benefit West End's prison ministries. Many members of our West End community are serving alongside ministries that serve incarcerated individuals, both during and after the time of incarceration. This past year, these funds were used to purchase shampoo for Christmas gift bags for the men at Riverbend Maximum Security Prison, as well as rain ponchos for Christmas bags for women at the Tennessee Prison for Women. We've also helped several incarcerated individuals with toiletries and stamps, and recently we helped a released individual with rent at a halfway home. So please give generously. The offering may go in the plates near the front pew. All is ready, and you are invited. Please come.
Thank you.
grateful recipients of the gifts of God, let us pray together. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Forth this week, remembering that we are indeed family, but we serve a God who unites us. May we go with the grace of God, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. May we go in peace.